Let's pray to God. Father, bless our time together. Cause that your spirit will hover over this atmosphere. Plant eternity in our spirits. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Please sit down in God's presence. Hallelujah. It's a retreat, so I would not want to sound too formal. Can you celebrate God's servant, Pastor Wines, in the house? It's a man with a very sweet spirit. Thank you so much for sharing your space with us. So humble, such a humble man of God. And highly anointed. I also celebrate all the leaders in the house. Hallelujah. Celebrate yourself too. Amen. Now, permit me to just go straight to the word. We are considering a topic that says stewardship in time, talent, and resources. Stewardship in time, talent, and resources. So I would want us to be a little bit relaxed, and so we can, it's a retreat. And basically, what we intend to achieve in a retreat is for us to, you know, unwind, take some stocks, look around, how have we been faring? Are there areas where we need some rejigging? Are there new things? Are there things we need to unlearn? Are there things we've been holding on to that is no longer working? You know, they are no longer working. We need to throw them away and pick up new ones. And in all that, that's what a retreat is all about. So I would just want to throw some few teasers and then allow us think through them and pray that in this, God will bless every one of us in Jesus' name. You know, the basic concept in stewardship, I hope you all know that. Some of us, business owners, some are workers. So when you hear the word steward, the first thing that will come to your mind is a manager, right? Yeah. Something that is not yours. You are a manager. I have a few scriptures I would like us to read to give a background to what I'll be sharing. And I have a little tips under time, few under talent, and then the last resources. Then we put them together and trust God to pray. Can we have Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 16? We'll just do the readings. If need be, I'll just make references as we go into the discussions. But I'd like us to read this at the beginning. Stewardship. Stewardship. Maybe I should make this comment on stewardship some more before we look into the scriptures. Stewardship is you are a manager. You are not the owner. You are not the owner. You are called upon to manage something you have been given. For a steward, you have been given. You know, I'm coming from the accounting background, so under lease agreement, there's something called ownership and possession. What's the difference between ownership and possession? Let me start from there. This is an advanced question, right? Ownership. You might own something, but it might not be in your possession. Under lease agreement, for example, you discover that maybe this chapel or the entire hospital might not even belong to FMC. But for years, you just know that it's FMC that has been using this place. You may not know that it actually belonged to someone. So ownership is, how do we put it? You know, the one that has the capital and acquired the resource. You know, you own it. You have much more right to that property. But possession is you are the one using the resource. It's in your possession, but it's not your own. Just like, will I say landlord tenants now? Yeah, landlord and tenants. You may not even know the owner of the house, but you know the tenants. You know those that stay in the house. So it is in the kingdom of God. So it is with everything that has to do with human beings. Thank God for grace, thank God for salvation, but as much as we acquire in God, if you even read Obadiah 1:17, what did he say? On Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall what? Is not own. Hallelujah. They shall possess their possession. Psalm 24 verse 1 says what? Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord's. That's the owner. Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 115 verse 15 and 16. Just to lay a little background on stewardship. Psalm 115 verse 15 and 16. What did he say? Okay, verse 16. Yes. May you be blessed. Just let's go from verse 15. May you be blessed. Let's read now. May you be blessed by the Lord. Who what? Who made? Who is the owner? Because he made the heaven and he made the earth. Verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens are, he reserved that one for himself. But the earth, what happened? He has given to stewards. He has given to caretakers. He has given. In as much as we, you know, we have the things in God, everything you are given, everything you have in God, there are things you are given, not things you acquire per se. For lack of good words to use, just permit me to make reference to that. So basically, have this at the back of our minds that whatever we are discussing today, we are not owners. We are stewards. I remember one of these prayers we always pray. We say, Lord, we are not achievers. We are receivers of mercy. That is not belittling the fact that you are a champion, okay? But whatever, the Bible says, who has a thing that is not given to him by God? Everything you have today is given to you by the Lord. Now, in the light of this understanding, can we now delve into our topic to look at stewardship of time, stewardship of talent, and stewardship of treasures? So you can call them three T's, you know? Time, talent, treasures, or resources. Time, the stewardship of three T's. Now we can go to our Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Now can we read? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. You know, sometimes people feel there are certain resources that are endless, and time is not part of it. You know, even though we know time as infinity, you know, they said eternity past, eternity present, but the one you are given is defined. The one you are given, you are allotted. There's an allotment to you. The time you're going to spend on earth, the time you spend in FMC, the time you spend in your place of work. You know, the one Sunday I just saw, they were celebrating somebody's 70th birthday and retirement. I said, reminder. Yes. So I got the reminder. I got it. Hallelujah. So, another scripture, this is on time, another scripture on resources, on talent. I don't know whether we should just do, I want to redeem my time. So let's do the reading. Hallelujah. I don't want to segment it. Let's do Matthew chapter 25, because the truth is that you can't adequately separate the three. They are interwoven. So we'll try to manage them like that. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. Let's do the reading together. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants. Another word for servants is what? Stewards. So you see, it's appearing again. And did what? Delivered. We say stewards are those to whom something is given. He gave them something. He delivered. Can you tell your neighbor, Baba gave you something? Hallelujah. Even if you don't know the thing, just tell your neighbor, Baba gave you something. Hallelujah. So this retreat is for you to remember. And as we progress, we'll see some of those dimensions and then how we're going to be good stewards. He delivered his goods to them. Let's move faster now. And to the one, he gave what? 5 talents. To another, 2. And to another, 1. To each according to his own word, ability. And immediately he went on a journey. The next verse. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1, remember, Baba still gave you something. Whether it's 1, 2, or 5, Baba gave you something. Hallelujah. He who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts. So you better learn accounts. Whether you are, yes, that's one thing that you can't be a servant and not give account. The first scripture he read is what we'll be rounding up on. A servant is required to be faithful. That's one. If you don't know faithfulness, you're not a good steward. Another thing you must learn is accounts. Hallelujah. When we were in school, that's our motto in the Christian Accounting Fellowship. For every man shall give account. And Jesus Christ will be the auditor. If you don't know how to balance account now, please ask an accountant to help you, because there will be accounting there. Amen. To settle accounts with them, what happened? The next verse. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you've delivered to me 5 talents. It's a familiar scripture. I hope you've gotten the background. So for want of time, maybe we should look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. To conclude on the matter of talents. 1 Peter 4, 10. It says what? As each one has what? You have received something. Help me remind your neighbor. It is in the light of this that we have the grace, the audacity, the authority to speak to you this morning, because you received something. Whether you doubt it or not, whether you agree or yes, you have received something. As every one of us has received, we should do what? Minister it to one another as good stewards. Stewardship is coming out again. Of what? The manifold. Manifold. When we get to maybe talents, you discover that we did not receive the same thing. It's a manifold. That means different. Different. I was talking to some secondary school students a few days back. I was saying, if you want to learn about the use of a particular thing, don't ask the neighbor. You don't know the use of this. If you want to know the use, ask the manufacturer. Is that not so? And some people are not asking the manufacturer, they are asking the customers. They say, you are comparing yourself, you are asking your neighbor, am I also to, you know, no. You ask God, who is the giver, and he gives it differently, manifold. Amen. So the final scripture is Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. Matthew 6, 19 to 20. Let's read that. Want to read? Do not lay off selves what? treasures where? On earth. That's the third one. We talked about time. We talked about talents. Now we are talking about treasures. And what heaven is saying, you should not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Where what? Moth and rust destroy. And where what? Thieves break in and steal. Verse 20. But what? Lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. The concluding one is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. Can we read it together now? Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Father, bless the words we have read into our hearts. Cause that insight to be given unto us, that we will not just be hearers, but doers of the same. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, how do we steward our time? How do we redeem our time? You know, we don't all have eternity to live on earth. We don't have all the time. And then if you want to break down time, time has its unit of measurement. What are they? Seconds, minutes, hours, days. So when you are hearing time, don't just sit down and balance and say, you don't concern me. If you don't spend a day, you are spending a second. 10 years will not be given to you as we are giving you 10 years. No, it will come in minutes. So that 5 minutes that you are wasting, or that 5 minutes that somebody is taking from you, is actually taking your life. Hallelujah. It's actually taking your time. He said if you sleep 8 hours in a day, in 24 hours, in a day we have how many hours? 24 hours. Divide by 3. 8. According to you scientists, you say we should be sleeping 8 hours. Is it minimum or maximum? In a day. So if you are 24 years and you have succeeded in sleeping 8 hours a day, how many hours would you have slept? You have spent 8 years sleeping. Hallelujah. And out of that 24 hours, you use 2 hours or 3 hours to watch television. How many hours do you use to, you know, maybe go to office? And the productive things you do in the office, the 8 hours you have, let's say 4 hours, 3 hours. So if you spend 5 minutes or 1 hour doing the right thing, you can imagine how many years you have actually lived. The fact that we are celebrating happy birthday to you 40 years, in reality, how many years have you truly lived? That's the question of time. It's not about the length of it, but how productive is your time? How much of your time do you use? And the quality of time is measured by the quality of activities done with that time. Hallelujah. Amen. The few wisdom keys I want to share with us is to also answer the agitation in our hearts. You know, when it comes to time, a lot of people are anxious. That's the word. Especially in our time and our season, you say time is kicking. You know, my clock is ticking. You know, and anxiety everywhere. And then the next thing, instead of achieving much, you become hyperactive and then you don't rest, and then you are pursuing something that is not pursuing you. The next thing, you say blood pressure and a lot of things like that. So God has given us the wisdom to redeem time.
God has given us the wisdom to maximize time. God has given us what it takes to make us enjoy our time on earth. Whether it's 33 years of Jesus fully maximized. In fact, he started his ministry at the age of 30. And those 33.5 years was what he needed to turn this whole world around. Whether it's the 950 years of Noah, or 935 years of Adam, or 969 years of Methuselah, you know, or 365 years of Enoch. And the Bible says, and Enoch what? Walked with God, and he was not, for God was with him. Let me share with us some brief wisdom lines to help us in maximizing our time. Number one, I call it priority. Priority. Wisdom keys that will help you maximize your time. And when you talk about priority, we are talking about being God-centered. You know, priority, you can be self-centered in your priorities. You know, and can you be, are your priorities God-centered? God-centered priorities. If you want to write it down, call it God-centered priorities. Oh, hallelujah. Feel the Spirit of God speaking to somebody, and somebody is receiving peace already in the name of Jesus. That heart palpitation is gone in the name of Jesus. God-centered priority. Let me tell someone here, you are not created to fulfill everything. Hallelujah. And you don't have the time to fulfill everything. And you won't do everything. Have your peace. Have your peace. That agitation in your heart that is telling you, I've not done this, I've not done that, I've not done this, is a lie of the enemy to make you waste your time. There are things you are created to do. It's not everything. So God-centered priority. And if you don't know that, that's why a lot of us leave home. You sleep late, you wake up early, yet you don't know what you've done with your time. And the one that suffers most is the church engagement. You know, when people have so much to do, they will even skip morning devotion, you skip Bible study, you skip prayer meeting. You think you are going to gather time for yourself. And at the end of the day, you discover that, what have you really done with that time? So the time you wasted in, you know, you skipped devotion. You skipped everything. In fact, during exams, you hardly find people coming to church and things like, because they are busy, say, I need time to read. And actually, how many minutes do we spend in church? You know, it's because when you don't understand God-centered priorities, you'll be busy doing things that you're not supposed to do. In your life, what are your God-centered priorities? For example, that thing called quiet time. You know, that thing called morning devotion. That thing called, you know, family altar. Do you know that's a place to secure your peace? That's a place to order your life. When you take those hours of the morning to arrange your life, you know, it's so important to your achieving. It's much more than that 5 minutes that you are joking with. It's much more important than the 24 hours. If you get that 5 minutes correctly, you have the spring on your steps. As you are going out, you know you are ready to devour, because you have encountered God and God has blessed you and equipped you for the day. Hallelujah. So those are God-centered priorities. Those are things you would wish to, not just wish, set it as a priority that you will not miss this thing. You know, no matter how late you are, don't just rush out of the house without a word of prayer. Don't just rush. And no matter how, you know, how fast the word of prayer would want to be, make it really strategic. Like kneeling down and surrendering to God. You know? Like kneeling down deliberately. Say, Lord, I hand over the day unto you. As little as that could be. That's a sincere prayer. Amen. Have you not heard somebody, you know, drive out and then the next thing is an accident? You know, that hurry that you are in a hurry. Who told you that you are in charge of the road? You are in charge of the car? And, you know, some people just badge into things. The enemy cooked all through the night. And because you are in a hurry, you don't have God-centered priority. People just rush into things that are not even the mishap, that is not meant for them. You just enter. But that little time of prayer will create a lot of hedge of exemption around you. It will preserve and, you know, usher you into greatness. is a power source, God-centered priority. And for some of us that are workers and all that, you may not have much time in that morning, but that little prayer is important. And then, how about Fridays? You know, when you are done for the day, because you need a prolonged prayer time to build muscles. This stewardship that we are called to do, a lot of things take our attention, and your prayer life is your spiritual, is your backup. That saying that a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian is real. And you know that in time, if you are living in a rented apartment, you can't pray loud sometimes, you can't do this, and then even if it's not a rented apartment, you don't want to disturb neighbors and all that, and it's choking you. So how about on Fridays, take out time at night, you know, get one field like that, pray loud and shout, and you know, charge your spirit man, and then you gauge, and then you drink water and come back. Hallelujah. How are you getting it? These are deliberate things. I'm telling you what my life is. I live a very busy life. I know I'm going to be preaching here this morning, and I have an engagement elsewhere and all that, but I used to pray at night in the church. But I want to say, if I leave my house, how will I make up for this morning? I say, okay, I have a cushion in the office. I shout that thing, pray my limitation, pray to the Lord. And then, even if it is 12 o'clock, I can't go home, I will sleep there. Hallelujah. I sleep there early in the morning, I go back home. But that's a God-centered priority, because you know that I'm a steward of this time. I'm a steward of this time. I don't have eternity to fulfill this dream. Yes, even our whatever is tenured, our stay in church and our everything. Okay, for now that the Lord has given us responsibility as workers, your stay in that unit is not forever. You know, some people now make church leadership structure to be like an eternal thing, and even hereditary or something like that, and then you think you, and it makes you relax. Look, tell yourself, like a footballer, I have just less than 90 minutes. In fact, the coach is even the one that determines how long you stay. Hallelujah. You are trying to create your last impact, what the coach will now do like this. So right from the time you are entering, why don't you just set God-centered priorities? Those things will organize your life. When you achieve, like I said, prayer, when you achieve those things, and then in the days of, you don't have time for long word study, you can download messages, and then not just listen on the go, but like of recent, I know that so many demands in my spirit. So, as I'm sleeping, the word is going on. As I am walking, it's going on everywhere. It's going on. You know, sometimes you just enter the office, the next thing, the next cleaner wants prayer, the next this one, and so, let your spirit man be absorbing God at all times. Your devices should be filled with God. And number one, that's I said, God-centered priority. The rest I'll just read through. Hallelujah. Is somebody being blessed this morning? Yes. Another wisdom key of how to maximize time is preparation. Preparation, preparation. Hallelujah. Preparation precedes performance. Preparation. You know, a lot of times when you have things you don't prepare for, you use much more time in the thing. But when you are prepared, you know what to do. You know, the coach will tell you, look, when you enter, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do. When you go, do it and clear. When you are not prepared, it's just like our government and our people, when they are not prepared, they will take first 4 years trying to study around. And when it's just like when you enter the university, I don't know about some of you, final year is always the nicest time. When you're about to graduate, that's when school starts becoming sweet. Hallelujah. I don't know. Do I have a witness? Because that time, you know where the library is, you know where this one is, you know where everything, you are now relaxed, you are now a guy, and then all of a sudden, you're about to go. At 100 level, you are not balanced. You are still confused whether you have to go back home or to, is it worth it? You are still thinking. At 200, you are trying to adjust, and then by 300, you have discovered some spots. Where I used to buy this thing. So there's a cheaper place here. You have discovered it. Everything. And then all of a sudden, you're about to go. May that not happen to you in life in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what happened to people when they, you know, that's why the psalmist prayed. He said, Lord, satisfy me early. Satisfy me early. So what the antidote to that is preparation. Yeah. You are not married yet. Prepare for marriage. You are not having a car yet. Prepare for the car. You are not having the next thing. Don't be bothered about getting it. Prepare. Prepare. Even how to be a big man, you need to prepare for it too. Yes, hallelujah. If not, you will disgrace yourself. He don't give you water, you open, you just start drinking. No, that big man don't do like that. Hallelujah. Amen. In your little estate, learn how to hold glass. You know, even if there's no wine now, but I'm learning how to take wine. Amen. Preparation. It precedes manifestation. You don't prepare in the battlefield. You prepare before. Before. So, if you want to maximize time, prepare. You know, a wise man said, if I have 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'll spend 6 hours sharpening my axe. You see now? He said, if I have 8 hours to chop down a tree, or 12 hours, I will spend 8 sharpening the axe. Because if you know, some people, they are eager to chop down the tree. It's happened now. Most of our classmates and people that are doing yo-yo in those days, they want to wear the baggy jeans. This one, where are they today? They are busy trying to manifest when they were not prepared. But you took time, you know, preparation. It saves time. Even in exams, you should know, what are you going to do in the exams? You know, not just go into exams and sit down, you just open from question one, it will confuse you. You will now go to question, the last question. You know, before you know it, there is one question you would have answered. But when you know, these exams I'm going into is 7 questions, I'm attempting 4. You already know. This one, you now look at it. Before you even start answering, like in those of us, WAEC or A-level, you go to the first page. You do an outline, question 1, write everything you know about it. Just small. Fast, question 2, is an idea about this. Question 3, is an, all the 7 questions, I'm telling you what I do. Down to the last question, I'll answer all of them at the first page. And I'll look at them again. I say, it's like I have more ideas in this one. Let me start with it. I'll finish that one. Even if I'll leave some small space, when another idea comes, I'll come to you. I'll go to question 2. In that 45 minutes, I'll answer my 3 questions, and then I'll now come back again and be looking at which one will I add. I'll just be adding. The foundation has been laid. And at the end of the day, you say you score A. Not because you are brilliant, but you know how to prepare. Hallelujah. When you are going for mass exam, you know that in those days, you say construction will be there, and trigonometric ratio will be there, bearing will be there. There are 10 topics if you are preparing for mass in WAEC in those days. Hallelujah. You know, if you are going for geography, if you are going for biology, you should know, you should have an idea like that. And then that's how some of us scale through. Not because we read the whole syllabus, and not because we know things. When we were in school, some of us were afraid of first class because they say if you pass with first class, they say you know everything. That was our fear. Only for you to come and graduate. Oh, if we knew it was like that, we would have just aimed for it. So you are the best at what you have prepared for. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. So you want to maximize your time. Prepare. No matter how small the event is, prepare, sir. Not just an event, even if it is food, if anything, prepare. Preparation precedes manifestation. Another one is planning. You know, planning is similar to preparation, but it's a bit broader. You know, it's a bit bigger. It involves, you know, some certain stages, like, yeah, not necessarily specifics, but generic plan. We know we want to start service, you say, as the Spirit leads. Hallelujah. You say, how many minutes do I have as the Spirit leads? Okay. By the time, gradually, Spirit will be leading people too. They will be going. You know, you are coming for rehearsal. You say, you know, you don't have a specified nothing, no direction, no. I agree that the Spirit leads, but the Spirit also, you know, is a spirit of order. Again, especially when we are talking about corporate worship. When you are alone, you can. But when you are leading people, let's plan. Let's have plan. What is our plan for the year? That's why we have a team for the year. And we have a team for every month. We are trusting God. You know, we are looking at our tomorrow today. We can wrap it down even in, what is it called now? Vision. I've mentioned this. It's even what wisdom. Wisdom. But I still want to mention it as a point. Even though what I'm sharing with you is wisdom keys, but wisdom itself, the Bible says, is profitable to direct. You see, wisdom is the capacity to, you know, when you juggle activities, how do you profit in the midst of plenty things that are demanding your time? How do you make profit in the midst of this demand here, and that one? Husband is there, children are there, the work is there, the office, everything is there. You need wisdom to be able to fetch, you know, bits and pieces. It's just like cooking rice now. There are so many ingredients, but you don't put them in the same proportion. Hallelujah. You want to cook rice. Is this the same measure of rice? Is that the same measure of salt you put inside? The same measure of Maggi? No. You have to use small. That is what it takes in managing time. You should know what to spend much time in. A lot of us spend much time in what we should spend little time. It's not as if we are doing the wrong thing. Oh. Hallelujah. Gisting time is good. Watching film is good. Everything that is good. Everything. That's what makes your life balance. We are not trying to raise zombies in the church. We are raising all-round grounded people. But when you spend much time in what you are supposed to spend less time, you lack wisdom. Hallelujah. It affects our decisions. As a nursing mother, you should know when, I need to quickly, married woman, you should prioritize. Not that, different challenges and then you didn't allocate time. Every day, I am tired. Every day, I am tired. You are creating problems somewhere. Hallelujah. You are the one that did not foresee it. You didn't plan. You are not using wisdom. Okay, this week has been this. This week has been hectic. It's taking me to my last point, which is what? Break and rest. In the management of time, there's what is called break and rest. If you don't factor it into it, if people are in the health sector, you tell me better. If you don't rest your body will rest itself. Huh? Hallelujah. So may God grant us wisdom to be able to juggle these points together, even as we maximize time in Jesus' name. People are making this thing sweet. Let me not move and forget the time. Let me. I'm just in the first point. Amen. So I spoke about priority. Wisdom keys to maximizing time. Priority. God-centered priority. I want to emphasize that God-centered. Because sometimes you might have finished your plans, but God can still put his hand in that your plan. Hallelujah. When it is God-centered, it's so fulfilling. When it is God-centered, we are going for outreach. We are going to win some souls for the Lord. You have to make time for it. I'm going for Bible studies. We are going for prayers. I know this week. No, there's vigil in the church. But that doesn't mean you now come and stay and be doing that. Let me also emphasize, when I said you spend 8 hours sharpening your axe, some people have been sharpening the axe and they never chop one tree. That's another issue. Each time they say, how far? You say, we are waiting on the Lord. And the Lord is waiting for you. We are trusting God. Hallelujah. So you never stay in one place and then don't act. Some people are very good planners, very bad at execution. Very good at planning. As we progress into the next point, you see how to marry the two. The next point is stewardship of what? Of talents. And maybe before I share on this talent matter, let's give this illustration. A student, maybe an UNSUC student from Lagos, he is resuming school. And he has the option of either using flight or road. He is resuming school. And maybe a consultant who is also at Lagos trying to come to Kefi, he also has the option of using flight or road. What would be your advice and why? In terms of relating it with, let's say, time. Time, because we are going to relate it to resources as well. This same example. If you are a student in Lagos, you're about to resume school. You have the option of either using flight or coming by road. And you are also a consultant in FMC, maybe in Lagos, and you needed to be in Kefi. You also have the option of using flight or road. Which one will you choose? And why? In relation to maximizing time and probably resources. Yes, let me. Which one will you, as a student?
Okay. I will use roads to, so that I will manage my resources.
Excellent. I love that. Yes. Do you have another? Yes. As a student or as a consultant, you use road and manage your resources. Yes.
I'll use flight because of the insecurity.
As a student. You use flight.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Because of insecurity. All things being equal, there is security. Yes, we are just using time and resources now as a factor. You know, in economics, they say holding all things equal. I mean, things can never be equal. But ceteris paribus, yes.
I'll use flight if my parents are paying for my flight ticket.
Okay, as a student.
As a student, if my parents are paying for the flight ticket, I'll just go by flight. Because I may need to read when I arrive. Okay. I need to read once I arrive.
Yes. No. Okay. It's all right. Yes.
You know, when picking, you have to consider who gave you the choice. So if you want to be a good steward, you consider who gave you the choice.
The
if you are doing it on your own, or somebody else is doing it for you. So you consider that factor.
Okay. One more. Okay, yeah, two more. We have two sisters. The factors. And the factors for him is not him. Is who is funding it. But how about you? You want to maximize your resources and you want to maximize your time as you. As a student. Okay. Yes.
Well, as a student, I will choose road.
You choose road.
Road to maximize my resources. But as a consultant, I'm choosing flights because I'm coming to work for money. After that, because I'm coming as a consultant, definitely I'm coming to work for something that will gain resources. But as a student, while in school, I will just be asking, not that I'm coming to get money unless maybe I'm doing something. So I feel as a student, I should come by road. But as a consultant, I'm coming by flight. Even if I have the money. Thank you.
Yes, my sister over there.
So I totally agree with her, but just to buttress her point,
yes.
As a consultant, I'm coming here to save lives.
Yes.
So lives are waiting. They are waiting for me. And when I come in, I'm going to make money to both for the flight tickets, go in to go out.
Yes.
The money is readily available because I'll be paid for it. Now, as a student, my idea should be able to save up, maybe to start my own business, maybe to contribute to the society because I am on my own. So I'm trying to gather money. I'm not trying to squander. So as a student, I can, since it's the beginning of resumption, school is not starting. Lessons are not starting. Reading can wait maybe a week or two. So I think as a student, I'll go by road. As a consultant, I'll take
flight. Hallelujah. You have further points. Rich students.
Who made them rich?
So, all right, let's stop at that. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's balance it now. Yeah, the rich student you are talking about is rich in pocket, is not rich here. I mean, the fact that you're a rich student does not mean you should squander. Like she said, is the money you own? You don't have your money yet. Even if they give you the money, that's what we're talking about in terms of applying this thing. Even if somebody is funding it, give me the money. Do you know traveling for a student is education?
Yes, sir.
You are flying. You don't know how many states you are even crossing. You don't. At the end of the day, the ideas, I don't know if you are getting, let's not. Yes, both sides won. Both sides, it depends on perspective. But we are talking wisdom here now. Why we are saying is because some people at their level, they are supposed to be flying, but they are still following road. And when you ask them, they say they are saving money. But you are wasting time. There are certain levels that God has brought you to. You should be flying. Like she said, everything is covered for. But because that thing has entered your head, so you thought when you are flying, you are wasting God's resources. You say, well, why we have to take time, you know? You're talking about resources. You don't know how to balance it with time. How many minutes will it take you to get to Lagos? By flight. By road. Hallelujah. You see, so this stewardship that we are looking at is not just convenience. It's about maximizing life. Maximizing life. When we say maximizing time, remember I told you, the synonyms for time is what? Life. When you are saying, don't waste my time, you don't know what you are saying. It's don't waste my life. Anybody wasting your time is doing what? So it's not just maximizing time. Whatever we are doing now, the benefits we are getting is to prolong our life. As a student, it's not because somebody is funding it. That's what is called waste. And you are missing out a lot of things. The interaction, a student needs traveling. I mean, a typical student, part of education is what? Traveling. And as you move by the road, even the car spoiling is part of knowledge. Yes, don't hold up in Lokoja Road when they are talking about it, when you have experienced it, and the Lord makes you to be in the House of Assembly tomorrow. You know what to say? You are just, you don't know what to, you don't even know what the poor are passing through. Are you getting it now? So, when you are supposed to learn certain things. So let me just marry it with resources, and then God will give us wisdom. And like we said, wisdom is how you are able to marry all of them together. I had the privilege last year, on Sunday after service like this, I went to Abeokuta. No, I went to Lagos, Abeokuta. By Wednesday, Thursday, I was back and did everything. And then, even the office did not know what happened. I said, wow, this thing is good, oh. Hallelujah. And you know, while there, I wrote 11 papers in 3 days. It was an exams. And I was just calculating, how will I do this? And I just calculated, sometimes halfway into the service, and that's how, you see, somebody will need, that's why, as you are here now, and see the things you have achieved, somebody will need a whole lifetime of 70, 60 years, cannot even come close to it. It's wisdom. Living quality life is wisdom. May the Lord grant us understanding in Jesus' name. So, the Lord will balance it in your heart, okay? Because I know I'm seeing agitation, I'm seeing questions. Because some people are saying, when people are hungry, you are using our money to fly. Hallelujah. The poor have been there since Jesus Christ was born, and they will still be there. But you must also move. That's where we are going to the next verse. We have read about sharing too. The next thing is talents. How do we maximize our talents? How do we maximize stewardship of our talents? Stewardship of our talents. That's using your talents to serve others and glorify God. Here are the wisdom keys. Number one, identify your gifts. If you don't even identify them, how will you serve other people with it? Do you know your talents? If I may ask. Do you know your talents? Do you know your gifts? Have you identified your strengths? Have you identified what you can do? You know, what can you do if you are in a church setting? What can you really do? How do you identify your talent? Sometimes you just come to church and then you go back. Your own is to complain. You know, these chairs, they didn't clean it. You know, this thing is not hanging well. Look at the way they even, you know, this choir said the way they sang, they didn't sing like this. How do you identify? Do you know that this thing I've just said is a clue to understanding your talent? You know those that, you know, coaches can play better than the players. With mouth. Hallelujah. Yeah, you stand at the touchline. You are the one seeing all the errors. Yeah. You might be called, you might be a call to be a coach. The fact that some people cannot see the errors could be a reason why God called you to do something, either in the children department, in the choir, in the ushering, in the sanctuary, decoration, something. The pains you identify are a clue. They are a clue. They are a clue to your gifts, to your talents. So number one work you must do in being a good steward is to know your talents. And how do you know your talents? Just be available. Hallelujah. Be available. Be available. Number two, develop your skill. No, discover your talents, discover your passion. Another word for it is passion. What are you passionate about? Some people don't like seeing people being oppressed. Some people don't like people being sick around them. It could be a clue that you have a healing gift in you. Yeah, it could be a clue. You might have a healing gift. You just see somebody, up till now, this woman has not given birth. Up till now, and the thing is, you could be a miracle worker. When you turn that to a prayer, one night prayer, that woman, the Lord can open her womb. Even the ministry, that's how it is. Something that bothers you, don't wash it away. It's not, you are not an analyst. Don't just go and sit down and discuss it. Some people are discussing their burdens away. This prayer warrior thing, there is nobody like that has a gift of prayer. It's burden. When you see it, you say, Lord, this church needs to be more than this. But how do you contribute? You must not all be pastors. There is a secret place. And you just enter. You begin to pray. Lord, I pray for Sister Joanna. I pray for Sister Brother James. I pray for, Lord, help him. Instead of you going to gossip. When you are gossiping away the prayer burden. Are you getting it now? So harness these things. It will help you develop your talent. Develop your skill. Some of us, our talents are still raw. No, a man of God was saying it. If you come to my house and I bring raw yam and keep for you on the table, maybe slice it and then keep for you, will you be able to eat? So what that calls for is that we should develop ourselves. Sharpen our skills. You are into cooking? Improve it. You have a talent of singing? Improve it. You are into acting? Improve it. Now, we are in the days of AI, the days of digital communication and all that. Let's all learn. Let's all sharpen our skills. Let's not give up, you know, learning. The greatest room for improvement, the greatest room on earth, they say this word, self-improvement. So keep developing yourself. Keep learning. Art of public speaking and all that. Everything, whatever talent the Lord has given to you, develop it. Number three, in the wisdom key for harnessing your talent or stewardship of talent is serve others. No matter how good your soup is, if people don't eat it, brother, my sister, what is the good? No? Are you getting it now? You are very good at something, but nobody is enjoying your gift. You are not serving people. That's why we are doing workers' retreat. Nobody, you are a good communicator, but you are not communicating. You are a good, you are a hospitable person. You are not being hospitable. You are reserved. No, serve. Check out that body. Go visit. How are you doing, brother? Smile to someone. In that attempt, you are already stewarding your talent. Go and help in the children's unit. Go and help where there is need. Even the needs people are not seeing, you always see it, you know. Write it down. Make suggestions. And then create opportunity to serve others. By serving others, you are a true steward of that talent. God gave you your gift to serve your generation. God gave you your gift for the people. There is no man that is blessed for himself. Hallelujah. You are blessed for others. It's a pity that when people are growing and becoming rich, your cycle keeps, you know, you are left alone. And when you arrive, you'll be alone. Agree that you need to, when you are climbing up, you reduce your but please, open up, serve. Let there be outlets. Don't just be receiving. Serve. That's number three. Serve. Your blessing is tied to service. Number four, empower others. This is one way you can be a good steward. You can be sure that that man that has had 5 talents and he got 5 more, he must have done this. Maybe out of one day, he will just send 2 people. You people should go to this market. You people should go this way. At the end of the day, he had 5. When you don't empower others, you are not even building those that will take over from you. You are not giving people opportunity. Every day, you must be the one to lead prayer. Every day, you are the one singing. Every day, you are the one. No. Believe people. They will fail you, but empower them. Be the coach. You know, create an atmosphere that people can be empowered. Don't just give them fish, but do what? Teach them how to catch fish. By so doing, you are a good steward of your talent. If you are the only person in your family that is in this line, you know, how many people are you mentoring? Even in the secular world, they're talking about mentorship. How many people are you mentoring? How many people are you bringing, you know, to develop them to be like you? One of the first things I told the church, how many minutes do I have more? Okay. And they have started, they say, as the spirit leads. Hallelujah. 6 minutes. Good, thank you. So, the first time I came to church, I said, look, we are here as chaplain for this years. I'm here to raise leaders and not followers. Yes. Hallelujah. That's my mission statement too. Each time you see me preaching, teaching, doing whatever I'm doing, my aim is to raise leaders, not followers. People that can stand on their own, not people that will always call pastor, pray for me. There will be time that we can only agree. And I can pray for you, quite all right. But you should be able to pray for yourself as well. Number 5, under this, as we close this chapter, aspire for excellence. Excellence should be your watchword. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24, it says, whatsoever you do, whether it's in speech, in words, do it as unto the Lord. Do it as who? As unto the Lord. If the Lord is the one you are serving, is that how you are going to serve him? Strive for excellence. Give your best. Give your best. What kind of plate will you serve Jesus if he comes to your house? If you are a tailor, how will you sew Jesus' clothes? If you are a barber, how will you cut Jesus' hair? So that person, whatever you are doing, in your unit, do it as unto the Lord. Don't do it because of the chaplain. Don't do it because of your unit leader. Don't do it because of anybody. And aspire for the best. Because God deserves the best. And whatever you do, do it how? Heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. So, always, the standard we have achieved, 2025, is gone. Let's put another standard and let's beat the standards. Amen. And finally, on the stewardship of resources, I have just 4 points here. Stewardship of resources, which is treasures. We call them treasures. Some call them resources. What are resources, by the way? Can you mention some of them? Huh? You say human resources? Yes. Human resources are who? Call them now by name. What do you mean by that? Human beings, like you and I, who am I? Are you getting it now? Like your friends. I want you to, in that, your friends. That's so stewardship. If human beings are resources, then you have to be a steward of friends. So, who again? Family members. Colleagues. Friends. Relatives. Neighbors. Apart from human beings, what other resources do we have? Money, material resources. What other resources? Intellectual resources, mental resources. And so on and so on. There are plenty. So as everything in this world is resources. So everything. You know, money, possessions, even your wife is a resource. Some people even call their own treasure. Hallelujah. So if you don't, yes, you manage your wife very well. If not, you will not make profit. Hallelujah. You don't manage your husband, you make loss. I don't know how many people made profit last year. If you made profit last year, beat the profit this year. It's how you manage your children and everything. They are all resources. Your friends. So how do you do that? Number one, share with others, especially those in need. Sharing. Yes, your resources that the Lord has given to you, share them. Share with those in need. Like the Bible scripture we read, it said, and to the rich, share, sharing. You are rich. What's the essence of your wealth when you are not sharing? You know? How many people did Christmas because of you? That's the joy. How many people are you planning to pay their fees? You know? Have you sent somebody's school fees? How many people are looking for a bike to start business and you'll be the one to help them start? That's sharing. Number two, share with those in need. Wisdom keys on how to handle resources. I'm talking about money now. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, and Proverbs 22, verse 7. You can write it down. Planning. Even resources requires planning. And then here you are talking about budgets. You are not a good steward if you don't have a budget. Budget, savings. And then under this point I said avoid debt. Avoid debt. Budget, savings, avoid debt. Do you have a budget? Do you have a financial budget? Are you spending above your means? Do you know for every money you have, there is the seed part. And there is, you know, the bread part. The Bible says God gives seed to who? To the sowers. And give bread to eaters. No matter how hungry you are, or how hungry, you don't eat your seed. If you're a good steward, you must keep something. Oh, we are talking about savings. Some people are saving since and they don't do anything with the savings. Savings is not for you to watch. You. Savings is for investment. Huh? You save in order to increase your earnings. You are not saving endlessly. Money is not a security on its own like that, just building money in the bank. No. You must have a focus. You must have a target. You must tell money where to go to. I don't know how many of us have plans. Do you know money is good? You have plan before the money should come. If you don't have plan and money comes, the money will ruin you. A lot of people, is when money goes before they will remember that, oh, I would have done this with the money. If the plan in your heart is not up to 10 million, you might not see 10 million. And if the 10 million comes, it will destroy you. Let the plan in your heart be as big as 100 million, 150. And then as the money comes in bits, just like we're talking about time is in seconds, in days, in weeks. So also money. From 1 naira to 2 naira. Sometimes when you hear these big men steal big money, some people will cry. I say, what did they do with billion? No, it's 5,000. Do you know how I will shock you? Go and ask, go and print your bank statement for 2025. You will carry yourself to EFCC. You will report yourself. Yes, when you collect your bank statement from January to December, say, let them print your bank. See the total credit there. You say, who spent this money? If you know the amount of money that went through your account, okay, some people will be depressed just seeing that balance because you won't see anything that you've done with it. And the reason is because you were not having a budget. So as you are collecting your salary, what's your budget? Number one, you remove your tithe. Where is your charity? Where is your consumption for your food, for rent, transport, whatever? Where is your savings? At least 10% tithe, minimum 20% savings. Hallelujah. No matter how small, even if it's 10,000, that is your salary. After that savings is just what you pay yourself. Pay yourself. Then once in a while, you take care of yourself. You change your clothes, you know. And a lot of things, like you budget for it. And as the Lord improves you financially, you know, with the giving and all that, you see that you can balance. A lot of us have spent fortunes because of people that come to the office and give you clothes. Say, don't pay me now. Just carry. carry. You know, they say, al-bashi. That's what they say. Bashi is bashi. That's a... Debt. Avoid debts. Albashi. Salary. Bashi. That's collecting to pay debts. The Lord will grant us grace in Jesus' name. If you have changed your wardrobe in a quarter or once in a quarter, once you are done with that, even when they are bringing it, say, don't worry, I'll put it in my budget. I'll plan about it. The next one is invest in eternal things. To be a good steward of your resources, the Bible says, do not lay for yourself treasures on earth. Don't lay for yourself treasures on earth. So what that means is this. This money I'm spending, how does it contribute to heaven? This house I am building, how is it going to contribute to heavenly things? How does it contribute to kingdom? This car you are planning to buy, how does it add up? Are you getting it now? That's the issue. If it adds up to your well-being, you are going to be healthy, you're going to enjoy your movement, and then you arrive early, fine. It's a good reason. But if you are just buying because your colleagues are bought, is that a kingdom vision? You are buying because everybody in FMC is buying this type of car and you are the only one left. You are building a house that, you know, no. How does it contribute? Every spending you are making, as you are, we are trusting God and praying God to bless and prosper all of us. What is in the back of our hearts concerning prosperity? Is it not empowerment of people? Let's see how we can push this gospel to the end of the earth. Let's see how we can have a better, a befitting place of worship. Let's see how we can do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. We are having projects. So we are praying that the Lord will bless us so we can do this. So how much of your money is going towards eternal things? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And finally, be content and grateful. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. If you are not contented, the things of the world cannot satisfy you. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus is the cup that never runs dry. If you want to pursue the resources of this world, you can never, it will never, even if you buy this one tomorrow, another, the new version is coming tomorrow. The phone you have, buy them on purpose. Don't buy because a new version is coming out, because another one will come out. It will keep coming out till we leave this world. You must learn to be contented. Even in terms of wealth, in terms of everything. Be in control. Till Lord bless us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. As I conclude, I draw our attention to those three things, like I met Pastor sharing. Three things that are required of a steward. Three things that are required of a steward. Number one, he must be faithful. A steward must be faithful. Number two, a steward must be responsible. Pastor was giving us the definition of responsibility. A steward must be faithful, must be responsible. And three, he must be accountable. Must be accountable. Know that these things are not yours. Know that the human beings you are having today, they are Jesus' human beings. Jesus died for his church. You didn't die for the church. He died for them, not you. We are not using you to shine. No, we are doing a duty. Necessity is laid on us to preach the gospel. Necessity is laid on us. Jesus said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Tend my lamb. That's the body of the minister. Not because he wants to shine. No. Hallelujah. Can I take one or two questions or reflections? Yes, number one. Okay, let's start with number one. Or comments. You're also permitted to share, please.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Something that has happened over and over, so I don't know whether it's my mind that has been playing tricks on me or it's something is okay. Like sometimes after I will finish reading the Word of God and then I will be meditating, I may not feel like praying. I will just want to be there, meditate, and sometimes sleep carries me. Sometimes, some days I don't feel it, but some days I will really, really would pray. So is it normal? Is it okay that can happen?
Thank you.
you know, your state of mind, you know, the Bible says in the book of 2 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. So what then is prayer? Prayer is, as you are breathing, you know, communication with the Lord. That was why I said there's time for these short prayers. It's allowed. Prayer on the go. But you must also have long prayers where you set out time and place to meet with the God, with the Lord. If you want to grow, if you want to be a good steward, apart from the regular one, so this you are doing is not bad. You can actually pray, and this is the kind of prayer you can easily enter into a dream or a trance, and the Lord will reveal things to you. You will dream, and then it could be a reflection of what you read, and like that. You know, but aside that, that shouldn't be your regular. Are you getting it now? That shouldn't be your regular, but it's okay. You need to have specific time and place where you meet with God and exercise yourself and pray. That's why sometimes you come to church. Church also make out time for us like that. You can join the prayer band or come for prayer. Pray out and pour out burdens in your heart. I don't know whether somebody wants to add up to that or any other. Have I helped you, sir? All right. Any other question or comment? Then thank you very much for your time. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. You can celebrate Him better than that. Hallelujah.